All right, well, we're really looking forward to this week. Working with the Bears, Coach Fox and I go back a long way. We've always had a great relationship, and with many of the assistants on his staff, of course Josh and Ben, obviously, but even beyond that. I think this will be a good, productive week for us. Looking forward to just trying to find ways to improve individually, improve collectively as a team. I think this will help our coaches, help our players. So it's good to have the Bears here, and look forward to working with them today.
Bill, after working with the Saints for the fourth time since 2010, anything different in terms of staging a joint practice with an organization you haven't had as much experience with, even though you and John go back as long as you have?
Yeah, I mean, we just talk through everything to I think make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of what we're trying to get out of different drills and, with the players relative to tempo and so forth. Based on all of our conversations, I think we are on the same page. So I don't think there'll be any problems.
Bill, wanted to ask you about defensive linemen, in particular that interior group, I guess. What's the benefit of having different types of players in there? It seems like just looking at heights and weights, you have some guys that are real kind of earth mover types, and then there are some leaner guys that might be a little bit quicker. What's the value of having some varying skill sets in there?
It's just supply and demand. I mean, guys that have a lot of length in there and that are able to play in there, play like Richard Seymour. Guys are sixth pick in the draft. A lot of the players that are playing that position are, they're just not at that, don't have those kind of qualities. So they have other qualities, size, maybe quickness, maybe height's not one of them. But I think if you could get that in there, if you get a bunch of 6'5 defensive tackles that, were as athletic and powerful as you wanted them to be, you'd probably not too many teams in the league would turn those guys down. I mean, they usually get drafted pretty high, but, there's not as many of them. It's the Vince Wilforks and Malcolm Browns and guys like that are a little more, say, common, or they just come out more like that than they do some of the 6'5 guys, 6'6 guys.
How have you felt about the depth on this roster?
Well, it's really competitive. Yeah, it's it's as much depth as we've had at that position that I can remember. Good competition. We have some young guys, we have some guys with experience. And as you said, there's some different playing styles in there, so it's not quite apples to apples with each comparison, but they've all been productive. Like, can they all do something, pretty well to keep them in a competitive situation? There may be other guys that do, one guy may do something better than another player, vice versa. But in the end, everybody's been able to do enough to kind of, keep going in there, keep competitive.
How does Shea McClellan fit into what you guys are doing defensively, and have you gotten what you expected to this point with him?
Yeah, Shea's done a good job. Shea's worked hard. He's a smart kid. He runs well. He's athletic. He has a good set of skills, so he's been productive for us in camp and in the one game we've had.
Coach, with the CBA limiting physical contact throughout the offseason, one game in, sloppy tackling throughout preseason, how live will you go today? How close to the whistle will you be with the Bears?
Our practice tempo will be the same as it's been all through camp, which I think is the same as what theirs has been. So, I mean, again, we'll see when we get out there, but in conversation it sounds like what they do and what we do is pretty close to the same. So that's what I'm expecting to be today.
Jacoby Brissett didn't seem to get too many 11-on-11 reps yesterday. There were a couple scrimmages where he didn't get too much action either. How difficult has it been to get reps for all three quarterbacks and him specifically?
Yeah, well, it varies. I mean, he got a lot of reps in the game. And obviously Tom didn't get any. So, again, we really need to get all three quarterbacks ready for various situations. You know, I stated what the priority is, so nothing's really changed. We need all three guys to be ready to go. Jacoby is, you know, Jimmy's backup in the first four games, and Jimmy for his role, and, you know, Tom for when he comes back. So let's try to balance that out the best we can.
When you guys made the move for Martellus, how did you envision him fitting into your offense, and how has that borne fruit kind of the last couple weeks?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's just training camp for right now, so. You know, everybody's kind of learning what to do, learning the offense, you know, getting familiar with the basic plays and fundamentals and techniques and all that. We haven't game planned for anybody, and we won't be doing that for a while, so we'll see how it goes.
What have you seen from him thus far?
I mean, he's a big player. It's talented, you know, blocks well, runs well. He's got, you know, skills in the passing game and a running game. And really, it's, there's not a whole lot that it looks like he can't do. It looks like he can do pretty much everything you want a tight end to do. Smart, very smart. So handles the formations and, you know, adjustments and things like that, which are a big part of our offense at that position. He handles those well, and that's been pretty easy.
How do you see Jimmy Garoppolo's demeanor and the way it fits the opportunity in front of him, how he handles the attention within the spotlight that's on him as he goes toward the regular season here?
I think Jimmy's got good presence for the position. I think he always has. Again, it's always a work in, you know, in progress. It's always development. Every player develops throughout the course of their career as they gain experience. That's no different than him or anybody else. But I think his demeanor is good.
When you talk about good presence, what are some of the things that you look for in someone? What is that presence? How does it resonate? How does it show itself?
Well, to, you know, defensive signal callers and quarterbacks, part of their position is to, you know, get other things, other players in the right, make calls, make adjustments, do the right thing that other people are counting on them to do. It's their decision to make. So doing that, playing with poise, I mean, there's a thousand things, probably 10 things on every play. So, but, you know, either in general, you know, players have a good aptitude for it, or, you know, some guys are better than others.
Tom said yesterday that Jimmy's done a good job of working hard to earn the respect of the guys in the locker room and the organization. Is that something you noticed as well?
Well, I think that happened day one when he came here. I think that's – I think he's always done that. I don't think it's been any different this year. I mean, I think he's grown this year, but I don't think his approach has been any different. And I think he does have that. I'd agree with that.
So what have you seen from Nate Washington? He made a couple of good – actually yesterday, one from Jimmy, one from Tom, and it seems like having a veteran like that out there on the field can help stabilize things.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key is, you know, having him out there, so, you know, we'll see. You know, he hasn't been out there, you know, a lot. That's, you know, that's important. You know, I think every player on the field is, you know, flash good plays, so, I mean, that's why they're in the National Football League, because of their talent and so forth. You know, it's dependability, it's consistency, it's, you know, being able to improve and do it on a consistent basis. So that's what training camp's for. So I go out there day after day and, you know, see which players can produce that and which players, you know, that consistency or that dependability or is, you know, less evident. So we'll see how it goes.
When it's this hot, how do you manage between pushing guys and getting them ready for this type of weather, between that and, you know, making sure they don't go, you know, to a dangerous level?
All right, well, that's what our medical and nutrition staff is for. You know, we try to do a good job of educating the players and also making sure the players are prepared for practice, and then at the end of practice that they recover, which there are various tools that we employ for that. But I think as a team, you know, we spend a lot of time educating them on all the things they need to do, whether it's whatever the conditions are, that's part of it. But then there's just a general, you know, high performance, recovery, rest, high performance, recovery, you know, so that's training camp. That's football season. So part of that we just, you know, do as a normal procedure, and then whatever the conditions are that may require a little specific adaptation, for example, you know, more hydrate, you know, full hydration in conditions like this, then we, you know, we try to make sure that they're educated on that. We also make sure that we give them an opportunity to, you know, to do it.
Bill, when Martellus left Chicago, he had made some comments about not giving the ball enough. What are your expectations of him here as a team player when he's not the number one tight end? What are his expectations or yours of his?
My expectations are the same for every player. That's to know what to do, do it with a proper technique, play hard at all times, put the team first. There's no different expectations for anybody. It's all the same.
Bill, Trey Flowers had seemed to have a breakout game the other night, certainly. That strip sack and score. How do you see him as part of the defense going forward?
Well, I don't know. That'd be up to him. But, you know, he's competed well. He's definitely got some good skills. He's shown up inside and outside, both at the defensive tackle position in some passing situations and a defensive end. So, again, we'll evaluate the consistency and, you know, not one game or one play, but, you know, over a lot of snaps here in preseason and training camp and preseason games and, you know, see how it all plays out. But whatever role he has or whatever role anybody else has will be what that player earns based on their performance. Like, we don't hand out roles here, so I don't know.
Final questions?
Bill, obviously there's a history of players from smaller schools having success in the NFL, but when you look at players like Garoppolo, Butler, and others, and you evaluate them, what challenges does that present to coaches, scouts, and executives trying to project their future in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a tough projection. So, you know, you evaluate the film. A lot of times they're just better than the players they're playing against. How would that compare when they play against higher competition? Sometimes you can see the matchups at that level that are comparable. Sometimes those guys play in an all-star game, which like Jimmy did, which, you know, gives you a little bit more of a level playing field, if you will. You know, you evaluate their physical skills and see whether, you know, those are comparable to the players at your position. So even though a guy might be a great player at another level, when you look at him physically and you say, well, he's, you know, well below what we have in terms of size, speed, whatever other measurements you have, I mean, even though he's a good player, it just might not, once you put him up against other good players, it just might not be that competitive. So, you know, I think those are all things you kind of look at. But it's, you know, it's hard when you're looking at one level, trying to compare it to another. That's why it's a lot easier to evaluate pro free agents than it is, you know, college kids, because you see them playing in the NFL, you see them playing against the same guys we play against every week. So it's much easier to make that evaluation. But, you know, we're all looking at the same film. We're all looking at the same player. So, you know, we all have the same opportunity to take that slice of information and, you know, figure out whatever we figure out with it. But it's definitely a challenge.
So when you're right on an FCS player or someone even at a lower level than that, is that more rewarding as an evaluator when you have those challenges that you have to overcome?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we get paid for. Like I said, everybody's looking at the same player. So, you know, we hit some, we miss some. I mean, there's guys we've looked at that level and they've done better than we thought they would. There's other guys we've looked at that have come in and maybe done better than other people thought they would. I don't know. So we just keep trying to, you know, perfect our evaluations and the process, do the best we can. It's imperfect. There are a lot of factors that we can't control. And then when you put that player into an environment like this that has a lot of, you know, unknowns, then sometimes they react positively or negatively or just differently. You know, not every player from those levels, when they come here, reacts the same to, you know, the things that we do. So some guys embrace it. Some guys, you know, they have a hard time with that, you know, taking that next step. So it's definitely a, you know, a little bit of an unpredictable situation. All right. Okay. Thank you.